worthy of everything we have. Every bit of strength we have and every bit of our time, he's worthy, isn't it? Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to see you here. Praise the Lord. Welcome. And I just am excited to see what the Lord will show us out of his word today. Just, I'm so glad to be here. So glad to see each one of you. Maybe we can kneel for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of everything. We just want to lay our lives before you today and thank you for the price you paid for our redemption. Oh, thank you, Lord, for not sparing your own life, but offering it as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding. The world cannot figure out why we have the peace that we do. Lord, I pray you'd help us to grow more Christ-like. Pray you'd show us from your word things that we can grow in, Lord. I pray that each one today would be edified and encouraged and blessed. Lord, I pray for the struggling one today that is facing things in their life that your word could speak clearly. Lord, I pray for your spirit to walk up and down these aisles and touch the hearts. Lord, I pray for each one of our hearts that we could be pliable and soft, that your word could fall on good soil. Oh God, I pray for conviction, that you'd bring conviction to our hearts today. Oh God, show us how we can be more Christ-like. We need your help today, Lord. Bless the ones that can't be here, maybe listening on the phone line. I pray that you'd bless them and encourage their hearts. Pray we can all have an encouraging time hearing from your word today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Subject on my heart today, the last about 2 weeks, I was trying to think of what I could preach on that would apply to everybody, including myself, or myself, first of all. So I was meditating, and this last week there was something that was on my heart that didn't go away. So this subject, I'm not going to tell you right away, see if you can guess. This subject, I believe, would solve most, if not all, this world's problems. And it would solve family problems and community problems and church problems. It would solve problems in the workplace. There was a man in the Old Testament that had a great amount of this quality in his life. In fact, the Bible says he had more of it than any man on the earth. Jesus said that the person that has this quality will inherit a great possession. And this quality is the source of increasing your joy and peace. If you lack some joy and lack some peace, you might want to consider getting more of this quality in your life. If every king or president possessed this quality, there would be no conflicts or wars. Can anyone guess what I'm going to speak about today? Meekness. Very good. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I think we all know these three verses at the end of the chapter by heart. Jesus says, "Come unto me," verse 28, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to speak this morning on the meekness of Christ. Jesus says, if any of you are laden down with burdens, with sin, with whatever, come to me and learn of me. Learn how to be meek. Learn how to cast your care on me. So, I was just looking through our last year and a half of sermons we've heard in church, and I was trying to see if anyone preached on the subject of meekness, and I couldn't find any record of it, so I thought maybe that was the right subject to preach on. But as we've heard all these different messages, we've heard many different messages by our different brothers. We've heard about the mystery of the wheat. We've heard about the life of Elijah. We've heard about overcoming our fears. We've heard about girding up the loins of your mind. We've heard about overcoming step by step. We've heard about God's eternal mercy. We've heard about the ministry of Jesus. We've heard about 15 messages on 1 Peter. We've heard about all these truths. And so I don't think we have any excuse to not put it into practice. And I think if there is a missing link, it's probably because our ears are a little bit dull. And so here in Matthew 11:15, Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So as we get into this subject, there's one more key verse besides the first one we read. In Colossians 3:12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. God's telling us that we should put this on. Put this quality of meekness into our life. That's God's will for us. The word meek is found 17 times in the Bible. The word meekness is found 14 times. It's not a real broad word, but it is found in the Bible. Some synonyms of the word meekness are humility, lowliness, modesty, humbleness, down-to-earthness, synonyms of the word meekness. And we also have some other similar words of this noun, meekness. Patience, long-suffering, forbearance, resignation, gentleness, mildness, softness, peacefulness. This word, meekness, comes from the ancient Greek word, praos. And this was, when I read this, it just struck a chord in my heart. This word praos describes domesticating an animal. When you take a wild animal and you tame it down and you make a domestic animal out of it. That is the word praos. And I'll read a little thing here. The word praos comes from ancient military training. The Greek army would find the wildest horses in the mountains and bring them in. After months of training, they sorted the horses into categories. Some were discarded, others were put into ordinary duty. The fewest of all graduated and were put into service. When a horse passed into service, its state was described as praos, meek. The Greek word praos was used to define a horse trained for battle. Wild stallions were brought down from the mountains and broken for riding. Some were used to pull wagons, some were raced, and the best were trained for warfare. This word praos that we're talking about this morning gives you a picture. They retained their fierce spirit, courage, and power, but were disciplined to respond to the slightest nudge or pressure from the rider's leg. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what God wants to do for us? They could gallop into the battle at 35 miles per hour and come to a sliding stop at a word from the rider. They were not frightened by arrows, spears, or torches. Then they were said to be meeked. To be meeked was to be taken from a state of wild rebellion and made completely loyal to and dependent upon one's master. That is awesome. That is so beautiful. That God can take someone that's rebellious and that's going his own way, and he can put him through that school where he's totally surrendered to God's will. It's beautiful. In the Webster's Dictionary, meekness is brought out to be forbearance under injuries and provocations without any murmuring or complaining. Now that's not natural for our human to be able to withstand injuries and things brought against us and just close your mouth. That's what Jesus did. I want to look over just a few things. I'm going to ask a few questions, stimulate our minds, and then I'm going to look at some examples in the Bible of meekness and some verses and quotes on meekness and the meekness of Christ. Look at that a little more in depth and then see how we can apply it to our daily lives. So, write this up here. There's a few questions I would put before us. Can a person be meek and be mad at the same time? I think it's pretty hard. Can a person be meek and be mad at the same time? If meekness means submitting to God's divine will, then what do we call it when we don't submit to his will? How should a meek person respond when a car pulls out in front of him? Is a meek person weak or strong? Can an individual be carnal, fleshly, and proud and have the meekness of Christ? What does the Bible say the meek will have for an inheritance? What quality does the Bible say the meek will delight in? Can a person be meek and practice self-defense? You better be careful, because I know how to protect myself. There are people out there like that. I heard of this young man, he's a neighbor, that I guess he knew how to do that and had some stories to tell about knocking people over. Can a person be meek and practice self-defense? How should a man possessing meekness respond when misunderstood, accused, and ill-treated? Okay, now we're going to look at some verses. Okay, we have Psalm 22. I'm just going to read down through these quickly. Psalm 22, 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalm 25, 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 37, 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You hear that? That's one of our clues for one of those questions. What great possession did Jesus promise to the people, to the meek people, will inherit the earth? However that applies, I'm not giving any final answers on that. I think Jesus probably even knew that verse when he said the Sermon on the Mount. That's in Psalm 37:11. Psalm 76:9, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Psalm 147:6, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 149:4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now here's another one of our answers for the questions. If you listen in the next verse, Isaiah 29:19, the meek, y'all listening? The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 61:1, this is a prophecy of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And we have Matthew 5, verse 5. Maybe we could say it together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we also have our verse that we read in chapter 11 about taking our Jesus' yoke upon us, for he is meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 21:5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. One last verse in 1 Peter 3:4. Our sisters are supposed to have what kind of a spirit? A meek and a quiet spirit. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. Just a couple verses on meekness. In Galatians 5, it talks about having meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. No one's going to tell you not to be meek. In Titus, in 2 Timothy 2:25, it tells us that when someone comes against us, we're supposed to, in meekness, instruct them that oppose themselves. And it instructs us in Zephaniah, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. God instructs us that we're supposed to seek after having a heart of meekness. And we have in Titus 3:2, we're not supposed to speak evil of men, but we're supposed to show meekness unto all men. Even that most nasty neighbor, right? And really, how can you be meek if you never face any challenges? I mean, how can you prove that you're meek if everything's a cream pie, right? If everything's just going smoothly. But when that situation comes up that's challenging, that's really when the meekness shows up. Okay, here's just a couple of different quotes that I was going to be on examples. I got that turned around here. Sorry about that. Actually, I'm going to do that first and do the examples next. Here's a couple quotes Meekness shows humility. Meekness demonstrates strength. Meekness is not weakness, it's strength under control. So I've got a little something I'm going to tape up front here. What kind of an animal do you think of when you think of strength? That's one. Here might be another. So, I have just a couple little things I printed out here that give us a couple little examples of meekness. Maybe you can just pass them around, take a look at them. So, meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. Meekness is an essential aspect of the divine nature and can be received and developed in our lives because and through our Savior's atonement. Meekness is absolute power under perfect control. So maybe you think if you're meek and you turn the other cheek, that that's showing you're weak. Actually, it takes more strength to be weak than to get mad, I think. I think getting mad is our natural and fleshly response, isn't it? I mean, what things make you angry or stir those feelings up? Maybe being insulted or something that steps on your toes. Or, I mean, anyone give me an idea? What is the thing that tends to make you upset? Anyone? When people run out of resources? Anything else? What is that thing that tends to stir you up inside? When you're not in control. If you feel run over. When a job didn't go right anymore. Wow. People get in the way. I think maybe this is really what we all need, isn't it? Meekness does not, being meek does not being weak, mean being weak, but it does mean behaving with goodness and kindness and showing strength and self-control. Meekness is strong, not weak. Humility is one of the most important qualities which you must have, because if you make people realize that you are no threat to them, then people will embrace you. Meekness is strong, not weak. It's active, not passive. Courageous, not timid. Restrained, not excessive. Modest, not self-aggrandizing. And gracious, not brash. Meekness is marked by silence in the face of abuse and infamy, by submission to God's way, which is higher than our way, as high as heaven is above the earth. By submissiveness to others for their welfare is the source of inexpressible joy and contentment. Isn't that something? Jesus' way works. Isn't that amazing? Jesus' way always works. Here's a quote by Matthew Henry. Meekness is calm confidence, settled assurance, and rest of the soul. It is the tranquil stillness of a soul that is at rest in Christ. It is the place of peace. Meekness springs from a heart of humility, radiating the fragrance of Christ. Just a few more here. Jesus calls us to his rest, and meekness is his method. As he says there, learn of me how to be meek. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of this world is not worth his effort. I'll read that one again. Jesus calls us to his rest. Meekness is his method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he? I mean, in our natural man, we always like to be on top, don't we? Have the last word, you know, give him a piece of our mind, show him a thing or two. That's natural. But Jesus calls us to not be worried about who might be above us. For that man that realizes that, he long ago decided that it's not worth his time to try to be esteemed by this world. The heart of meekness grows sweeter and more beautiful with age. Meekness implies a spirit of gratitude as opposed to an attitude of self-sufficiency. An acknowledgement of a greater power beyond oneself. A recognition of God and an acceptance of his commandments. Be brave if you lose. Be meek if you win. Exercise meekness even when we encounter mean-spirited criticism from persons who have little regard or love for us. It can be helpful to exercise enough meekness to listen to what they say, weigh it out, and see what might benefit us. Meekness is vital for us to become more Christ-like. I think this is the last quote here. Meekness is an unchanging state of mind, which both in honor and dishonor remains the same. Meekness consists in prayer sincerely and undisturbedly in the face of afflictions from one's neighbor. Meekness is a cliff rising from the sea of irritability in which all the waves that strive against it break, but which itself is never broken. I don't know if you got that, but that is awesome. That is tremendous. Meekness is an unchanging state of mind, which both in honor and dishonor, no matter if you're esteemed well or esteemed low, remains the same, this Christ-like meekness. Meekness consists in prayer sincerely, undisturbedly in the face of afflictions from one's neighbor. Meekness is a cliff rising from the sea of irritability in which all the waves that strive against this, they call it a cliff, likening meekness to this cliff, all these waves break, but meekness stays there. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Now we're going to look at a couple examples. Let's turn your Bibles over to Numbers chapter 12. Here we have the account of Abraham. And the Lord had greatly blessed him and his cattle, and things were increasing. Begin reading in verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 13. Genesis 13. Starting verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot also went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We be brethren. Let there be no strife, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? And The story goes on that Abraham gave him first chance. Now, if that is not an example of meekness, I mean, Abraham could have said, I'm older than you. I have the right to pick out the best land. But he gave his nephew, Lot, he gave him the first choice. And the story didn't end up the best for Lot either. But what an example of meekness, preferring someone else above yourself. Wow, amazing. Let's turn over to Numbers 12. Here we have another answer to one of our questions. Can anyone name to me the meekest man on the earth? Moses. I think we can all strive for that. And as we do know, he was not always 100% victorious in that area. He did have a couple times where he messed up pretty majorly. And he never made it to the promised land because of his failure to be meek at the couple times. Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken also only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and said unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. What a frightening experience. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her come in again. So forth. And the Lord healed Miriam. But through this whole thing, you don't find Moses fighting back. Isn't that, that's something, you know. Moses was, let's say maybe the sit on top of the pile, or however you want to say, he was the one in charge of, and just imagine with me having hundreds of thousands of people under your leadership. Would you like to be in that position? Hundreds of thousands of people that are looking to you for direction. That's completely staggering. But here, they were coming against Moses, and what's ironical about this is sometimes the people that we face challenges with are not very far distant from us. This is his brother and his sister that were having problems with him. And so what this shows me is we need to deal with our problems in our own house first of all. We need to know how to be meek in our own house. And then we can take that further from there. So, there's just a couple other little stories that bring the point out. There was one day back during the days of the slaves where George Washington, I think he was the first American president, and he was talking with one of his generals one day when this black man walked past, this slave walked past. And this slave tipped his hat and said good morning to George Washington. And George Washington did it back to him. He said, what did he say? He tipped his hat and bowed to the slave. He responded, good day, sir. Have a good day. After a moment of silence, the general said to him, why did you bow to that slave? Washington smiled and said, I would not allow him to be a better gentleman than I. I think that's a good example of meekness. He didn't want a slave to be a better gentleman than him. Okay. Let's look at point number four. Should have written number three in here. Let's look at if you want to turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 2. I was just meditating some this morning on Christ and really his perfect example of meekness. He came, if you want to, there in Luke chapter 2. Just take a few moments and consider how Jesus came to earth. You know, he could have come in the greatest and most elaborate house, the greatest mansion, and he could have sent out 10,000 angels announcing his birth to everyone across the world. I'm here. I'm the Son of God. I really paid a great price to come down here. You need to respect me and all that. But he came in an obscure place. Was it Bethlehem? And born in a manger where the place where animals eat. How many of you would lay your baby in there after it's born? I'm not sure if any of you sisters would choose to do that unless that's the only place. Up out of off the ground than you might, but Jesus was born and laying in a manger. And you talk about meekness. You talk about a humble beginning. He sent the angels to some very lowly shepherds. Jesus, his heart is for the meek and lowly people. His childhood, he worked a very, an obscure job, worked as a carpenter. It wasn't a big splash. It wasn't out there getting attention. He was, seemed like he worked with his father in the carpenter shop. Jesus' ministry was all about others. His ministry was all about serving others. From the time he got up in the morning till the time he went to sleep, and sometimes he stayed up all night praying. But it was all about other people. It's all about serving. He identified with the down and outers, the publicans and sinners, the despised people. He healed the sick and all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. Then we come to his death, and he died the death of a criminal. He was on the cross with two thieves, one on each side of him. And you talk about meekness and about just the lowest of the low. And that was what Jesus did for us. All through Jesus' life, he took the low road when it came to relating with others. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that's who's calling us to be meek. He's the one that's calling us to be meek. Now, in case you're thinking that Jesus was always very, what you call soft and mild, when it came to defending the truth, then you see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Can you all see this lion up here? Now, that one doesn't look very fierce there. Looks like that one's practicing a little bit meekness. But did you all get those pictures I passed around? Okay. And that lion and that lamb is not a natural phenomena. That belongs more in heaven, I think, or where it talks about the lion and the lamb laying down together. But Jesus, when it came to the truth, he was zealous, and he was he courageously preached the will of his Father in the face of great opposition and continual peril for his life. Throughout his 3 years of ministry, they were continually trying to get him, trying to trap him, trying to snare him in his speech, trying to plot to kill him. But his time had not yet come, and so God preserved him till the time of his offering. Jesus shrank not back from calling the religious leaders a generation of vipers. Now, how does that fit with meekness? I think that's strength under control. I think that's what it is. He called them whited sepulchers, hypocrites, fools, blind, serpents. Jesus cleansed the house of God with zeal and passion for the house of God. When it came to standing up for the truth, it was all in there. And I think that's an example that God has for us. Defending God's word, standing for the truth in the spirit of meekness. But we should be full of zeal for defending God's truth. But when it came to his personally being assaulted, or people coming against him personally, then you see this meekness coming out. In 1 Peter it says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now when we're in our natural man, when you suffer, what's your first response? You know, from the old man. Start making threats, right? You know, start, well, you better back off here. I'm going to do this or that, or I mean, I hope we're so far away from that that it's sort of faded out of our minds. I hope that old life has been dead long enough that we can put that away. But that's a natural thing out in the world. If you suffer something from somebody, you start making threats. But Jesus, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Jesus suffered in silence, patiently, meekly, submitting to the will of his Father. Jesus didn't fight back or have the spirit of self-defense. In fact, he told Peter, put up your sword. For all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Jesus had all power to call 10,000 angels, get off the cross, kill his enemies, and set up and establish a great earthly kingdom. Jesus had the power to do that. Would you all agree with me? He could have done that at any moment. But right here, strength under control. Jesus knew the will of his Father was not, and so he had that great strength under control of his Father. He showed us and the world the greatest example of meekness to be ever seen. Isn't that something? Even greater than Moses. Moses was a meek man, but Jesus was a greater than Moses. And he showed us the great example. How are we doing with this? How do I respond when facing these things that Jesus did? How do I respond? Do I ever respond with just a small degree of a retaliating spirit? Is that ever a part of your life? My life? Do I ever do that? I think I have already. God help me. I don't want that. Do I ever find myself responding with just a little bit of happiness when one of my not so favored people in life have something bad happen to them? You know what I mean? Maybe someone you don't get along with quite so good, and then something not so good happens to them. Do you find just a little bit of, they deserve it? Well, just consider that I believe a meek spirit would respond a little different than that. How do I respond when someone misunderstands me? Well, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that. He's just taken me completely wrong. How do I respond when someone misunderstands me? How am I doing in this area of meekness? How am I doing? I think I have room to grow. I think we all have room to grow. Am I allowing the meekness of Christ to be formed in my life? And I'll leave us with that challenge. And I would like to hear any of your thoughts in the testimony time. Am I allowing the meekness of Christ to be formed in my life? It is a lifelong work of grace. Lifelong. Let's keep our hearts open to the Lord.